17-year off, right? Yes. Are you blessed this year? Say yes. If you have a job, you're blessed.
Amen.
If you have money in the bank, you're blessed. If you have clothes on your back, you're blessed. If you have a heater in your home, you're blessed. Even if you don't, you're blessed. Amen. Praise God. We are just a blessed people, and we just thank God for the many things He's given unto us. But it's good to see people are starting out their year right and in the right place, giving God first what is actually His, and just letting God be God. Letting God be God. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would, I would like you to turn to 1 John chapter 5, please. 1 John chapter 5. It's the blood of Jesus, people. I tell you, that is a great song. It's that blood that makes the difference. The blood. You know, as we were singing that song, this is not even, I was thinking of Peter. You know, Peter was a great man of God. I mean, he loved God with all of his heart. But what was told to him, because he was being boisterous and he said he would never deny God or anything like that, it came forth that one day the Lord looked at him and said, you know, you will deny me three times. Man. See, God knows what's in our hearts. Huh? He knows our true identity, who we actually are. And that's a great thing. That's great. So He knows how to work things in our lives so that we become better Christians, better people of God, serving God. And He knew in His heart, in Peter's heart, what he would do. And it says that, you know, and when the cock crows, you know, that you will deny me. And he denied the Lord three times, and we know that. He did it. That he never knew God. He spoke some vulgar language. He did some things that weren't right. But it says that Jesus, even through that, forgave him. And that's the main point. That it's through the blood of Jesus that Jesus can forgive us of all things, people. You know, we as human beings, we put things in categories of sin. You know, that's the truth. It's true. You know, and there are some things that are more destructive than others, yes. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us and takes those things out, takes those things away. And it says, after Peter denied him the third time, that cock crowed, he knew what he had done, and what he had done is what the Lord had told him he would do. And he went and ran, and he asked forgiveness. He repented. And it says that they looked at each other later on in a couple of series later, and he saw the love of the Father, love of Jesus, through the eyes of our Lord and Savior. See, don't run from God. Run to Him. Don't run from Him. Don't run from Him. That's what the devil wants us to do, to run from God. And so then when we run from God and God's over there, we're kind of alone. And the enemy comes in and tries to bring destruction of all kinds, huh? Telling us all kinds of stuff that's not true. Trying to bring destruction. We know John 10:10, the scripture says that Jesus said that the thief comes, what? To steal, kill, and destroy. But God Jesus has come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. So we should always run to God, not run from Him in every situation. Let me tell you, there have been times where I wanted to run from God. And I think I took a few steps away from Him. That's the truth. But you catch your head and you say, no, even though this may be a tough time, even though things may not go my way, even though it might be really hard, I gotta turn to Him. And He's always there with His arms open wide to take us in and to hug us, to help us, to give us strength, to give us the ability to accomplish what He desires and wants. There isn't anything any of us has ever done in this building that God cannot forgive us of. Nothing. The blood of Jesus takes care of it all. The blood of Jesus takes care of it all. The blood of Jesus takes care of it all. In every situation, everything. My God. It gets me excited because I know my God is there for us. My God is there doing His will for us, helping us to accomplish what He desires and wants through the blood of Jesus and what He has done for us. What He has done for us. That was bar note. What you look at this scripture. The scripture says for us to bring our petitions before Him. That means to bring anything that is weighing us down of any kind. Anything that may be weighing us down mentally, physically, just the daily life of things, the daily concerns of things, the daily praying for our children and our spouses and our church and our community, family and friends. But this is what the scripture says. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. It's an amazing thing. This is the confidence that we have in Him. Proper believing gives us proper confidence, which is proper assurance, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Let me stop right there, people. God always hears our prayers. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm not good enough for God to hear my prayer. Yes, you are. There's nothing in the world that you haven't done that somebody else hadn't done. And probably a few of us in this building. And I always put myself in there too. God hears our prayers, people. God hears your prayers. God hears when you sit down and you pray. God hears when you're driving in your car and you're praying. God hears when you're working at work and you're praying. God hears the petitions of your prayers. And oh, Slewfoot, the enemy will try to tell you that God doesn't want to hear from you or myself. That God doesn't want to hear from us. But God is saying, come before me. Come and give me those petitions. Come and give me those things that weigh you down. Come and give me those things that are upon your heart and upon your life so I can move and answer those prayers. See, we pray to seek our Father. Now you might say, well, does God answer every prayer? Well, yes. It may not be what we want. It might be no. And who likes to hear no? Just ask your children. I want to go sleep somewhere else. No. Oh, Lord. I want to go buy whatever. No. I want to go eat out. No. Unless you can pay for it. No. You know, whatever. But a lot of times we say yes because we are good fathers and mothers. You know. But God hears our prayers. And it may not be exactly what we want to hear, but let me tell you, God hears them. Now, God hears them, and he answers them. And God will only answer those prayers that are according to his will for our lives. Okay? Just because, you know, we go before God and we call upon God and we ask him to do something doesn't mean he has to do it. Now, we know what the scripture says, that this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. But it has to be according to his will. Just because I might have $100 doesn't mean just because someone comes to ask me for it, do I give it. It may not be good for them. It may not really help them if it's not going to the right cause. See, God looks at the whole picture of our lives. He wants us to go before him. He wants us to call upon his name. He wants us to give our petitions to him and tell him what we want or what we want him to do as far as moving upon our families, saving our families, you know, blessing our family, all that stuff. But yet we have to realize this. It has to be according to his will. If we haven't figured it out, he's the man in charge. And we are not. And let me tell you, there's a lot of church world, they think they're in charge. How do you know that? Hear their prayers. Commanding God to do something. You can't command God to do anything. We can go before him and make our requests known before him, which he already knows. But it's his will. He's the man in charge. He does what he wants to do. He gets the job done. The Holy Spirit follows the orders of the Father in getting the will of the Father done upon the earth. So this is what we need to do. We need to go before him. And as we go before him and we spend that time before him, petitioning him, asking him for the souls of our families, asking him, we know that's God's will. We're asking him to move upon our families, to move upon our jobs, that God would bless us financially, that God would move upon those things, that it has to be according to the will of the Father. And when we get in line or get in sync with the Father, it will be done. Amen. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It will be done. When we get the will and the knowledge of our Father and it becomes known to our minds and hearts and we know what it is, we can start praying it. And as we pray it, it will come without a shadow of a doubt. All it takes is us to believe, 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 believe. I was listening to a preacher. Well, he was just something. And he was saying that they had a shortfall of $1.6 million for this month. Well, last month or whatever. Yeah, I know my eyes kind of do. What? And he looked and he said, but I know without a shadow of a doubt it's coming. And it took me by surprise. Like there was no... And you could see, I mean, he was not arrogant. There was no arrogance. There was no, he just knew that God was taking care of it. 1.6 million dollars? U.S. dollars? U.S. dollars. But God can take care of those things. When you have a shortfall, God can take care of those things, spiritually and physically, whatever it takes, as we go before him. Galatians 6:9, if you would bring that scripture up. This is the main scripture I want to get to. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If you go and you read that whole chapter in Galatians, Galatians was an actual church, like we are a church. It was an actual church that was having some problems and needed some direction. And Paul was trying to give that direction to them. But in the first part of that chapter, it talks about restoring them back to the Father. And then it gets down to the place where he talks about where if you sow to the flesh, you shall reap of the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you shall reap to the Spirit. Okay. Then it gets down to that scripture. And it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Some of us have been praying for things and we haven't seen the reaping of it yet. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in doing well. Don't get weary and lackadaisical in doing the will of the Father. Don't get weary. You might say, well, I'm not seeing the results that I want to see. This might be the year. Don't get weary. Don't get laxed in the mind and the heart and turning your back to the Father and going your own way. Don't get tired spiritually. We are to sow to the Spirit, not to sow to the flesh, but to sow to the Spirit. Keep on that right track, keep on that narrow road and doing what is right, and we shall reap the benefits of what God has told us he would do in our own personal lives, in our families, and in our communities. But we cannot let the weariness of the world or the weariness of ourselves draw us to a place where we don't reap the benefits of what God wants to do, of what God is desiring to do. It's, as we read the scripture before this, it says to bring our petitions before him, but we should not get weary. Sow to the Spirit. Sow. You know, as a farmer, we've all had gardens. Some of us are better at it than some of us. That's why they bring it to me. That's right. So my garden is, she brings it in jars and, you know, all that stuff. So I just say, yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But you know, a garden, it takes time to do a garden. I mean, you got to work that dirt. You got to put the seed or the little plant in at the right time. You got to make sure the fertilizer that you put in is right and correct for that plant. I mean, you have to make sure it has enough water, not too much water. You got to make sure the weeds don't take over. You're out there almost every day taking care of it. You have to. You got to make sure, you know, I mean, we can't do much about this, but you got to make sure the sun comes out, gives it the sun, the nutrition that it needs. All those things work out to make that seed germinate and come and become a plant, or take that little plant and make it grow. We have to sow to the Spirit. We got to make sure that we, the seed, when we become born again and God places that seed of himself on the inside of us, a personal being of Jesus Christ living, a God living in us, that we germinate that seed that's in us, that we take care of that the person that lives in us, that we take the time to read that Bible. We take the time to pray and intercede and ask God to move. We take the time to do the will of the Father, sowing to the Spirit, praying and seeking and trusting God. And as we do that, when things come our way from the enemy or ourselves that we bring upon ourselves sometimes, that if we're sowing to the Spirit, it still affects us, but our eyes don't move away from the Father. Just like Peter, when Jesus told Peter, come out of that boat, come meet me. And Peter said, what? And so Peter took that one foot, got out of that boat, and then the other one. And you know what? He walked on water to meet his Savior. Now, we know he started to go down when he took his eyes off. But I tell you what, we need to keep our eyes upon him and him alone, people. Keep our eyes upon him and him alone, and we're going to see the salvation of our God. We're going to see the move of God like we've never seen before, people. We're going to see God move in situations that will draw people to this place. The power of God. The power of our God. See, it's the Holy Spirit that can draw people to get saved and give their hearts again to the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, that's miracles. Miracles, miracles, miracles to draw that young lady into this building. My God. You probably didn't know people were out there listening, huh? But that's okay. We're here to worship our God. And it says where two or three are gathered in his name, there I am in the midst of my people. Amen. My God, when we come together, doesn't matter if I had a hard week and you had a hard week, but let me tell you, we come together and we have a good day. We worship our God. We praise our God. We honor him as we come together. Because thank God, the wisdom of our God, two or three are gathered in my name. There I am in the midst of my people. And let me tell you, God is in the midst of his people. Don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Look, don't give up. The devil wants you to give up. He wants you to stop praying. He wants you to stop praying for your family. He wants you to stop praying for your friends. Stop praying. He wants you to stop praying for your job. He wants you to stop praying for yourself. Because look, we need a lot of prayer ourselves. Huh? Thank God for the mercy of God. In due season, we shall reap. I believe this year, 2017, mark it down as the year of reaping for us. As a family, as a church, I'm telling you, it's a time of reaping. Reaping like we've never seen before. The power of God, the presence of God. If we faint not, that's the end of it. If we faint not, faint not. You know, somebody that faints, you know, They're just doing some ordinary. They become lightheaded and boom. Let's say they were washing dishes or something. Hopefully they're not driving a car. Thank God. That happens. I mean, it can be anywhere. But whatever they're doing, if they faint, they lose all consciousness. They stop doing the activity they were doing. And that becomes stopped. It becomes a... It's halted. It's stopped. God says if we don't faint in the spirit and we hold on to the brass bars of heaven above and we don't give up, we are going to reap and faint not. We're going to reap the harvest that God has for us. We're going to reap the things that God desires for us to have. In the scripture, it talks about, I want to make sure I say the scripture right. In Matthew chapter 15, there was a young lady, because of time's sake, I won't, in chapter 15, it was a young lady that went to get to have Jesus heal her daughter. She was very sick. They call it in the King James, vexed. Very sick, close to death. And she went and she said, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." And Jesus turned and didn't even answer her or look at her. You might say, well, why would he? I mean, this is our Savior. You have to remember, when Jesus came, he didn't come for the Gentiles, which is every one of us. He came for the Jewish people first, because there was a job they had to do. Number one, if they weren't for the Jewish people, we wouldn't have this Bible. That's why you listen to the news lately about the UN and Israel. Don't mess with Israel in any way at all. The Bible says, whoever shall bless Israel shall be blessed. Whoever shall curse Israel shall be cursed. If it wouldn't be for the Jewish people, we wouldn't have the Bible. My God. My God. But hear this lady. She said, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And he didn't even answer her because of the law that was there. He couldn't, basically. Then she cried out to him and she said, Master. Some versions say, Lord. And he answered her. And she said, My daughter is sick. Can you heal her? She had faith to believe. And he says, how can I give the bread that belongs to certain people, the Jewish people, to the Gentiles? How can I do that? And she turned to him with an excellent answer. That was the Spirit of the Lord. She said, but even the crumbs that fall down from the table, the dogs eat. And he said, such great faith. And he said, be it unto you, your daughter is healed. See, we have to be persistent like that lady. And even though things may not turn out like we want, we got to be persistent. We got to keep on hitting and knocking on that door and saying, Father, turn my daughter, turn my sons, turn my father, turn my mother, turn my aunts and uncles and cousins back to the Lord, or give them a heart for you, Lord. Lord, protect my family. Let me tell you, there's so much evil going on in this world, it blows my mind away. I don't know how people can do the evil that they're doing. I just don't understand that. I don't understand that a heart can be so blackened with sin and evil that they could hurt another human being on purpose. I don't understand that. Now, to protect your family, that's something different. That's totally different. But just to go and hurt somebody, a human being created by God, just because you don't like them for whatever reasons, that's not right. No, you don't do that. Now, you do protect your family physically and spiritually. But God healed that little girl. Also, a man was having some people come to his house, and I'm about to close. And he ran out of bread. And so he runs to his neighbor's house, knocks on the door, and the neighbor says, what do you want? I mean, it's early in the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I need some bread. I have a visitor that has come. Come back to me in the morning. I'll give it to you. He said, no, I need it now. And he kept knocking on that door. Kept knocking on that door. And the man came out and gave him the bread he wanted. People, God wants to see our faith. God wants to see us believe. The things we're praying about, keep knocking on that door, people. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep praying for your family. Keep praying for your children. Keep praying for your spouse. Keep praying that God will move. The devil wants us to give up. Keep praying for that new job. Keep praying for the bondages to be broken off of people's lives and hearts. We don't realize how much entanglement of the evil one that has tried to entangle people in their minds and in their bodies, try to destroy them. Well, we can break those chains of bondage as we knock on heaven's door constantly, calling out their names before the Father, that even Jesus, the great intercessor, is making intercession for you and I today, that the will of the Father would be done in us. Can you imagine? He calls out the names of the church, his children, to the Father on a constant basis daily before the Father. Can you imagine? Your name, my name, has been called out before the Father, not so much by a human being, hopefully that's being done, but by a God. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that gave his life on Calvary's cross, that shed his blood Because he knew the only way that we could be reconciled back to the Father was by him coming and doing the will of the Father and dying upon the cross and shedding his blood. And in doing that, we can be reconciled with our Father, and Jesus is constantly making intercession for us. Thank God. Thank God. We don't realize how strong the enemy is. Let me tell you, he's strong, people. We cannot beat him on our own. There is no way possible. But there's a difference now since Jesus died on the cross. Yes. We can get saved. Amen. And Jesus, the Father, lives in us. Yes. And with the Father, it says, the scripture says, all things are possible. And we can break those chains of bondages. And we can go to the Father. And we can petition. And the Father can move like he wants to move. Let me tell you. The enemy is no match to the Father. Your Father, Heavenly Father, God the Father, has more power in his little pinky at the end of it. More power there than the enemy has throughout his whole arsenal of demons and spirits. That's how much power our God has. It says when Jesus was on the cross, he could have called 10,000 of the angels to come and rescue him. But what a devastation it would have been, because he wouldn't have fulfilled the will of the Father for his life and for us. And because of the obedience of Jesus Christ, we are reconciled back to the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. Galatians 6:9, bring that scripture back up. I want to read this scripture one more time, people. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You might say, well, Pastor, I kind of swayed a little bit. You know, and I'm not saying sin. I'm not just, and maybe in some prayer parts. Maybe and not, look, get back on track. You can pray in the bathroom. You can pray in the living room. You can pray in the bedroom. You can pray on the job. You can pray anywheres. Get back on track. And you say, Father, you see the mistakes I've made? You ask forgiveness, and you go on. And you don't worry about the rest. You don't worry about what happened back there. You let bygones be bygones. You let it go. And don't look back. That's just like, I have 4 minutes. That's just like in the Old Testament. When somebody owed somebody something and they didn't pay, they'd walk through the gates of the city. And I know I've shared this before, the gates of the city. That's where everybody walked through. And what they would take is like, I don't know, some kind of skin of some kind. And what they do, the person that had borrowed money or whatever and couldn't pay it back or whatever they owed and they couldn't pay it, they'd write it all. They write their name and write everything down. And at the entrance, and so as everybody would come in, they'd see it to the city. And as everybody would leave, they would see it. And what could happen was somebody that maybe a family member or whoever could go and they could see it. And they could turn it around and write their name and write paid on it. People, our sins drove Jesus to the cross. Our sin. But Jesus took it, turned it, and took his own blood and wrote paid and signed his name, Jesus Christ. Son of the living God. It's all been gone, people. It's all gone. Amen. Would you please stand, please?